This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, it's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Wendy Ying from Sarasota, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 28th, episode 1245. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World!
Guess what day it is today? Sunday. No, it's Friday.
I can't believe it! I just don't believe it!
What's going to happen?
Something wonderful.
Thank God it's...
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Thank God it's...
Well, thank you so much for joining us on Horses in the Morning here on this Friday. And Jamie is away. She's heading off to California. She's going to the races this weekend. So she is now driving, I believe, at this very moment. And Dr. Wendy Ying is filling in from the Driving Radio Show. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Glenn. How are you guys?
Good. We are terrific. Thank you so much for joining us. And of course, the big news here in Florida, and Wendy lives in Sarasota, which is below Tampa, like sort of southern Florida on the Gulf Coast. The big news here in Florida is the governor came out yesterday and said, prepare for the worst. Now, the potential hurricane is about 8,000 miles away, and they have no idea where it's going to hit. But prepare for the worst, Wendy.
We're in the cone.
We are in the cone. Now, they're saying...
And we love that it's called Erica, because I don't know if you remember my dear friend Erica, the English girl that works for us. And so Erica's very outgoing and like super fun. And so all of us here in Sarasota, all of Erica's friends are like, Erica's coming back to town and she's pissed. So we're all excited because she is like a whirlwind and we can't wait. We can't wait for Hurricane Erica.
Well, it isn't even a hurricane. It's a tropical storm at this point. Although it is causing, like 4 people died in the islands and there's 20 missing and it's causing massive flooding there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's already causing massive flooding in the Leeward Islands or whatever islands are in the far outside there. So they're not quite sure where it's going to go or how it's going to develop. But you are prepared because you and Kyle got a full house generator.
We did, but it's not yet finished being hooked up.
Oh, really? Well, tell them to hurry up, Wendy.
I know.
It's coming.
I know.
You're going to be the house in the neighborhood where everybody goes to because you're the only one with power and air conditioning.
That's right.
Although I don't think the whole house generator will run the air conditioners.
It does.
Oh, does it?
It runs the AC. It runs the well pump. It runs everything.
Wow. Look at you guys. Fancy.
Well, you know Kyle. He's an indoor kind of guy. Yeah. He can't live without AC.
That's right. Even if it's only out for 12 hours, Kyle's got that whole house generator there.
That's right.
So when's it going to be hooked up in time for the big hurricane to hit?
No, they're coming Monday. And Monday's supposedly hurricane day. But we're Floridians. We don't worry about the hurricane.
No. You know, I said that to my brother and he said, oh, so we're going to have storms, wind and a lot of rain. Isn't that what we have every day?
Right.
It really has been that way here. We've been getting tons of rain and storms every day here in Ocala. So it really is just going to be like another day.
Yeah.
Here in Florida. Well, we have a big show planned for you today. A lot of fun. And of course, Really Bad Ads is back, isn't it, Jennifer?
Really Bad Ads is back with a vengeance. So, on today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, the voice of Road to the Horse, Richard Winters, has now thrown his hat into the round pen, and he's going to stop by and tell us about it. And then next up, the author of Sergeant Reckless, a book that Glenn and I recently read, Robin Hutton, is going to be here to tell us about how she wrote that life story of the modern war horse and war hero. And then sliding to a stop amidst the roar of crowd, EquityMFG.com's Really Bad Ads kicks up some dust So stay tuned for the Friday, folks.
Thank you. It's been a couple of weeks since we've done Really Bad Ads, and I know Wendy loves being on Fridays because she gets to help with Really Bad Ads.
I do. Really Bad Ads are my favorite.
It's everybody's favorite, I think. All right, Daily Winnie time. Well, my Daily Winnie, I was looking over the app downloads. So I get a report of all the downloads of our app at the Horse Radio Network app, which is free and easy to use, by the way. I get a report on that and every day. And I was taking a look at the last couple of weeks. And for the first time since we got the app, and I think there's like 22,000 people who have downloaded it. But for the first time since we got the app, we had more Australian listeners download it in the last 2 weeks than United States listeners.
Wow.
It is the first time that the United States has been beaten out in app downloads. And we just love our Australian listeners. I know there's a lot of you down there. And next week, you're going to be happy to know, all you Australian listeners, on Thursday of next week, I believe it is, Jennifer, right? Yes. On Thursday of next week, we are doing an Australian episode once a month here on Horses in the Morning.
Oh, great.
So we have a terrific host for that and out of Australia, and she's lining up all Australian guests. So we're going to have accents galore here next week.
Can I come on the show if you get Hugh Jackman?
Yeah, I love okay. him. We'll let you know when that happens, okay?
He's Australian?
Yeah, he is, but I don't think we're going to be getting him anytime soon. I'll let you know. I'll let you know when that gets lined up. So... We love our Australian listeners, and we're actually going to be doing an episode every month in your honor. So we're excited to learn more about horses in Australia coming up, starting next week. Do you have a Daily Winnie?
Oh, yeah, I have a Daily Winnie.
Okay. Here we go.
My Daily Winnie is to my dear friend, Karen Abatista, who is a dressage rider and trainer, and she is the one that is riding Dante. She actually, kidnapped him, and she's not letting him come home.
Tell everybody about Dante.
Oh, Dante was one of my driving horses, and I've had him since he was a little four-year-old, and he was the FEI or the USEF national single champion when he was in 2008, when he was eight. And so he's retired now from driving at 14. And I loaned him to Karen for her little kid lessons. And he's a Welsh Cob Arab cross. So he's little, you know, he's like 15 hands. And her big Grand Prix horse is retired. So she's taken Dante and she's making him do ridden dressage. And he's like being a super champ at his next career. So I wanted to shout out to Karen and thank you for taking Dante to places I could never take him. And she also has a really great attitude, even when he's totally bratty and tries to buck her off.
So the Arab comes out.
Yeah. And also her trainer says, I was there for one of the lessons and her trainer said, and Dante was bucking. She goes, and the trainer says, it is not okay for a 14-year-old to be bucking. And I thought, wow, he's right. I really should be more strict with my horses.
Now, was Dante any good in driven dressage?
Oh, yeah. He was great. Because, okay. You know, driven dressage is one of our phases in combined driving. So he was very good at driven dressage. But it's a total, they use completely different muscles. Because in driving, they push against the collar. So driving horses don't really learn to sit like dressage horses do. That was a new one for him. He was not happy about that. He's like, what is going on? I thought I was retired. And
yeah,
now
the aids are different too. We kind of don't have legs in driven dressage. So
yeah,
the aids are a little different. Although, you know, you use your whip like a leg. I mean, not whipping them with it, but, you know, you touch them with the end of the whip. It's actually to give a lot of the cues. So
yeah.
That works the same way. Now, which was Dante? Was Dante one of the leaders or?
Yep, he was one of the leaders. He's Duke's brother. Duke is the super bratty one. So I was laughing at them. I'm like, well, you think Dante's bad?
Which one reared up in the parade for us?
That's Duke.
Duke, yeah.
Dante is the one that you don't remember because he is always
perfect.
He's
the quiet one. Yeah, that's right.
When Duke is being bad, he just closes his eyes and goes to his special place and pretends like nothing's happening.
So Wendy drove Four in Hands, and we have the just give the names of all the different. We have the leaders and we have the wheelers, right?
Yeah, the leaders are the two out front. And then the wheelers are the two closest to the carriage that pull the carriage. The leaders, while they can pull the carriage, are the fancy ones out front.
Now, I've often wondered, when you get into four, sixes, and eights like that, how much pulling are the front? Like, if you get into eights, are the front four pulling at all? I guess they're still pulling, but...
You only want them to pull in a straight line, because if you think about it, when you're turning, if your leaders are in draft, we call it, so that's when they're pulling... you're going to the carriage, like say you're making a turn from one road to another road. So you're doing a 90 degree turn. If your leaders are in draft and they turn the corner, your wheels are going to hit the curb. You know, you're going to cut the corner.
Got it.
So we take the leaders out of draft for the most part, and you call it articulating the team. So the leaders will turn down, say you're turning to the left. So the leaders will turn to the left 90 degrees, but your wheelers will keep going straight until you're ready to turn, and then your wheelers will turn.
You said taking them out of the draft, so you're basically taking them to the point where their tugs are loose. What's the cue to take the front out of the draft and keep the wheelers going?
Well, for the most part, you just shorten your leader reins and you hold them a little bit out of draft. Okay. And they get used to that. They get used to that kind of pressure on the reins. But that's why for me, as a girl driving Four in Hand, I had to make sure my leaders were very light. And David Saunders talks about this a lot, about glorious horses. Mm-hmm. Because the leaders are just on your hands. They're not in the traces. So you have to hold them in their position with just your hands. So if you have really... hard mouth leaders that can like rip your arms out of the socket.
Now, and also, so now how many reins when you're driving four, how many reins will be in each hand?
I have two reins in each hand.
Okay.
And Gloria drives with all of her reins in one hand.
She does. What's that? Is that the Achenbach style?
That's called Achenbach. So when she wants to, so you have four reins, right? So you have the left leader rein, connects to the left side of both leaders.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
So, and the right leader rein connects to the right side of both leaders also. And the same with the wheelers. So it's like driving two pairs. So that's really important because if you screw up your rein attachment, you don't want both, you know, your left rein going to one and the left rein going to the other side of the
right.
Of the
That'd
lead.
Be bad. Be bad. You'd be wrecking. That's
right. But for me, like I buckle my reins together. So I buckle the leader rein to the wheeler rein. That's how I drive. Gloria drives with her reins unbuckled and all in one hand. So it's kind of like playing a harp when she turns.
So basically she has four lines coming into one hand. Yeah. And they're woven in between her fingers is how she does it, right?
Right. And then if she wants to turn left, she'll reach her right hand up and she'll, what we call, take a loop. So she'll shorten the left leader rein first, and then the left leaders will turn. And then as she's letting out the left leaders to leader rein so that they go straight, she'll turn her hand and turn the wheelers.
And by the way, this is incredibly difficult. Wendy and I did this with Gloria's horses, and it is harder than it looks and sounds. It's just, there's a lot going on up there when you're sitting that high up, and you've got those four horses in front of you, and you've got all those reins in your hands, and you're trying to do the two pairs doing different things. It's just a lot going on at one time.
It hurts your brain.
It really does. You know, it is physical, but boy, it's a mental workout. Mm-hmm. I guess you get used to it like anything else, right? I mean, you drove fours for a long time.
You get used to it, but I remember coming off the marathon, even when I did tandem, like the first time I did multiples in competition, I did tandem with Duke and Dante.
And that's one horse in front of the other.
Like yeah, one
two
horse
horses in,
front of
in a straight
the,
line. Yeah.
So it's the same rein handling. And they're angels, you know, like I could totally screw up and they still know where they're going. But I was so mentally exhausted when I finished marathon because there's so much to think about. With a single, you're just driving, you know, right, left, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
Well, we are going to change gears a little bit here from talking about driving to talking a little bit about Road to the Horse. As everybody knows, we are kind of the pseudo radio network for Road to the Horse. We're there every year and doing a lot of coverage there. And one of the people that we met there has now come out. You know, what happens to old competitors, by the way, is old competitors retire, like Wendy and Jennifer. And
hey, I'm not old.
We retire to the microphone. And that's what Richard Winters did. He retired to the microphone. He won Road to the Horse and then decided to go do the fun thing and do the announcing. And then this year, it has just been announced yesterday that they're taking him out of mothballs and they're giving him a round pen and he's going to see if he can still train a horse. Hi, Richard Winters.
Well, Glenn and Wendy, good morning.
Good morning. So how'd she talk you into this?
Oh, my goodness. Well, actually, as reality began to sink in, I thought, my goodness, what in the world have I done? you're right. You know, those old football players, when they can't throw the ball anymore, they just hand them a microphone. And so the thing, I'm going to step back in that round pen. This will be interesting. But I've got a few months to get my nerves settled back down.
Now, you won in what year?
I believe it was 2009.
2009. Okay. So, and you've been announcing pretty much since then, right, at Road to the Horse?
Yeah, we've been involved with that event. I think we've been there. We went and checked it out in 2008, and we haven't missed a year since. It's been quite a ride.
Well, and they brought you back this year. The way it's turned out, the three competitors for Road to the Horse in 2016 are going to be Clinton Anderson, who's won there before, Nick Dowers, and yourself. So, I think everybody's pretty excited to see you go up against Clinton and Nick.
Well, it is going to be exciting, and I know both these guys, and they are good hands. They're just great, great horsemen. Of course, Clinton won it twice. I've won it once. Nick, of course, since he has never competed in the event, hasn't won it at all. We'll see which one's the hungriest. But you don't get invited to this deal unless you have the goods. And so it'll be an interesting matchup to see how things shape up.
You did a very funny video to do the announcement. It was very funny. And that's why I felt comfortable calling you old today, because you pretty much did that to yourself in the video. So I think I'm about as old as you are. So we're in good company. But you mentioned the accent, that you can't compete with Clinton's accent. And we had a post on our page when I posted the video yesterday from Jackie, who lives in Australia. And she said, and I think Richard has a cool accent. Clinton's is just normal for us down here in Oz. So there you go.
Oh. Yeah, I suppose that's true, huh? But he is a smooth operator, and he's been around a long time. Everybody loves Clinton. And Nick Dower, kind of new on the stage as far as his colt starting deal, but not new to horsemanship by any means. We compete together in the National Reined Cow Horse Association. And as a young man, he went out there and really beat all these guys in what we would consider the Super Bowl, the Reined Cow Horse deal. So he's not afraid of a little competition as well. So it's going to be interesting when we get those colts in there. And a lot of it is luck of the draw, getting the right kind of colt that'll play this game. But and somebody says, well, you're a little older and these guys are younger. But like one of my favorite politicians, I have decided not to let their youth and inexperience become an issue in this competition.
Richard, though, I got to tell you that Nick has both of you on looks. He's got that handlebar mustache. He just looks like a cowboy.
And I'm going to give him a hard time. I think I saw his picture on the Road to the Horse Facebook. It looked to me like it was photoshopped a little bit. Pretty glamorous. I think there was even a little makeup going on in there, so I don't know what that's about.
And we're going to miss
you. Use all your assets.
Yeah, that's right. Use anything you can. We're going to miss you announcing, though.
Well, that will be different. And that's been a lot of fun for me. I've had the privilege of having a ringside seat now for these many years and seeing some of the greatest horsemen in the world get out there and perform. But It'll be curious now this year to see if I can not only talk the talk, but can I go back and walk the walk?
Do you think that actually doing the announcing, because when you're doing the announcing, you really are concentrating on what's going on, probably harder than anybody in the audience. Do you think that having done the announcing for so many years is going to help you a little bit? Not that you needed it, but...
Well, no, I need all the help I can get. And I think it can only help because I have had that ringside seat. And I think I have learned more than anybody out there. I've been able to see now many, many colts get started and many, many great horsemen and horsewomen go out there and do it. I've seen things that worked. I saw things that did not work so well. So hopefully I will have that information filed away in my mind and avoid some of the pitfalls that can be made out there. Kind of like wind or combined driving, this colt starting deal, there's a fine line that you're walking. On one side is beauty and harmony, and on the other side is imminent disaster.
Yeah, that's very true.
Wendy doesn't know anything about that.
Yeah, I do. But it's great that you're able to watch, like you said, you can watch. You get so much experience watching that. Whereas if you were, when you're training yourself, you base a lot of your training on your own experience. But watching these 5 years of everybody going through, you can see a lot of things. You say, oh, I couldn't believe that that happened, or I'm going to try that next time.
Yeah, that's right. You know, almost every competitor, there'd be something you think, oh, I wish I could just rewind the tape and do that over. Looking back perspective, I've done that just a little bit different. And so hopefully with that knowledge that I have, I'll be able to use it to my advantage. But again, these guys that I'm competing against, they are not rookies. They are not novice horsemen themselves. They've got a lifetime of experience stacked up. And so ultimately it's going to boil down to the kind of colts that we draw, horses that will play that game for 2 or 3 days, and then our particular styles. And that's always the fun thing about Road to the Horses, seeing the different styles of horsemanship. We're all headed in the same direction, but you'll see different tools, you'll see different techniques, and hopefully the judges will like me.
Well, we had some listeners last year come from Europe because we were talking about it on the shows, and I just got an email the other day. We have some Canadians coming down for the first time. They've been hearing the coverage for the past couple of years, so we're excited to have them join us, and I'm sure we'll have some more Europeans coming across. But that's not all you do. You also do clinics all year long, don't you?
Well, that's right. That's our bread and butter, going out and helping people get along a little bit better with their horses. So we travel all over the country and overseas as well. We just came back from Scotland here about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, cool.
And what we find is that horses are horses. You know, whether we're in Lexington, Kentucky, or Edinburgh, Scotland, and some of the problems and difficulties that people have with horses are universal. They might speak a different language or they might have a funny accent, but we're all just trying to communicate an idea to our horses. And horses are pretty amiable creatures, provided things are explained to them in a way that they can understand. So I'm going to be polishing up my equine linguistic skills between now and March, because I've got a few ideas I want to share with the 4/6 colt.
Very good. What's your next, where's your next stop?
Oh, my goodness. Well, we actually get to go to a horse show this weekend out in eastern Nevada. That's kind of my professional development, my continuing education. Because in all reality, Glenn, when I go do a horsemanship clinic, I'm like the champion. They think I'm just the cat's meow, and if everything goes, you know, halfway right, I'm the winner. But when I go to a horse show, kind of like, now, Richard, who? How do you spell your name, son? You either go in there and get it done, or you don't get it done. Certainly, Wendy and her driving when she competed knows exactly how that goes. So we'll go to a horse show this weekend. I think the following weekend we're off to Illinois. If anybody is in Illinois, Missouri, St. Louis area, we're doing an advancing clinic. And if you're interested in taking you and your horsemanship to the next level, we're going to be out there. So we're zipping around the country, making hay while the sun shines, and thinking about Road to the Horse the whole time.
Now, you probably still do. I'm not sure. Do you still have your show on HRTV?
Absolutely. You bet. Folks can find us on HRTV, Richard Winters Horsemanship. That's been a lot of fun every week. Our show premieres on Tuesdays and runs then also at random times throughout the week. I believe it's channel 398. that they can go on our website and find out more information about that.
Okay, cool. Very good.
Well, how do you film that? Do you film it all in a row and then you have it in the, you know, ready to go for that season, or do you do it each week?
You know, what we have to do, Wendy, is we have to come up with 13 shows and submit them to the network. And my wife, she's amazing. She has learned over the years to do the filming and the editing of these shows.
Really?
And wow. So she will have her camera with us on the road, and maybe I have a little project, a kind of a unique course or situation. I said, hey, babe, let's go ahead and film this. This will be a great show. And so we're always looking for new material, putting those things together, getting it all done. I'm a little bit of a procrastinator, and then we get down to the wire and say, hey, we got to get these last shows wrapped up and get them sent in. But she's the one that makes me look so professional. So if I say something stupid or my horse doesn't look too good, she edits it out.
Oh, that is a great wife.
Yeah, that's what you want. Who you want to have as your producer, right? Your wife, yeah. Because she's going to be really concerned Absolutely. About those little details.
Right.
Like nobody else.
That's right. That's the way to do it. Well, Richard, it's always fun to have you on the show. We look forward to talking to you again as we lead up to Road to the Horse. It is roadtothehorse.com. I talked to Tootie on the air here a couple weeks ago, and we had a nice long chat, and she said tickets are selling, and I know some of our listeners are already buying tickets. So if you want to get good seats, get on there, roadtothehorse.com right now. It is, the dates are, and it doesn't, I'm trying to remember. Do you remember? Let me pull it up.
Yeah, it's right around the middle of March. And when we looked last night, my goodness, surprised how fast the tickets are going. And we put together a Richard Winters fan section. And I need all the moral support I can get. So buy a ticket in our section. But it is the greatest colt starting
is
event
it marked
in the world.
Richard
There's
Winters
like
section,
it.
No traders allowed. Is that how it's marked on the?
That's right. If you've got a funny Australian accent, you can't even sit in our section. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But if your viewers haven't been, this is a must see. There's nothing like it. And so we'll look forward to seeing some old friends and meeting some new ones in Lexington this spring.
And it's March 18th through the 20th. So March 18th through the 20th are the dates. Thank you, Richard. And your website is wintersranch.com?
That's right. Check it out and check us out on Facebook. And we'd love to hear from some folks. Glenn and Wendy, thank you for your time.
Thanks for getting up early. We appreciate it. Take care.
All right, you guys.
All right, bye. Well, that was fun. Richard's always a great guy, and he's an excellent announcer at Road to the Horse. Wendy, we're going to have to try and get you up there with us this year. I think you'd like it. I think you'd have fun.
Is it in Lexington,
yeah,
Kentucky?
It's at the horse park. It's at the big stadium. It's at the Alltech Arena.
Well, it's in March, though. That's going to be kind of cold for me.
You're inside the whole
snow
time.
On the ground.
You know what? The first year I went up, 2 years ago, they went to Lexington for the first time, and I went up, and it snowed on Saturday. It doesn't
See?
Stick in March, but we did have a little bit of snow. It was chilly. I will give you that. But it is fun. It's a fun event, and they pack that place. That place is full. Not a seat is left. I think it's the only event at the Alltech Arena that every year, you know, fills the place.
Right.
Even the National Horse Show doesn't fill it. So
it's inside. So I can just go from the car to inside.
Yes, you're fine. You're inside actually the whole weekend.
Okay.
It is fascinating to watch. It's fun to watch. And I'm excited to see him compete. I've never seen him compete. All I've ever seen him do is announce. So.
I think that would be hard. Like what he was saying with the luck of the draw. What if you get a really bratty horse?
Oh,
it's going to take a long time.
You can tell. I mean, you know, people said to me, well, how boring is it over watching, you know, they're in the ring for like an hour and a half each day, and then they have other stuff going on, you know, demonstrations and stuff. But they're in the ring for an hour and a half each day, and I think the last day they're in for twice that, and then they have the final competition. But they... People say, well, isn't it boring just watching them train horses? And it's not. It's actually fascinating because you get to see these horses go from never being touched to them riding them in 3 days. So, and you get to see the entire training process. And I'm not, you know me, you know, I could get bored with that in about 10 minutes, but
right.
I don't. I mean, I find it fascinating. I sit and watch the whole thing. So it is really cool to watch.
I know. 3 days. That's amazing.
Yep. It is cool to watch. And, you know, they're doing it, with natural horsemanship. And, you know, it really is neat to watch how they do things. And you get to see the different horses' personalities, and you get to see the different trainers' personalities come out in that training, too.
Yeah.
You get to see them handle it when things go wrong and, you know, how they handle it, and then how the horse handles it when the pressure is really on. And
I should do a Chinese medicine segment about personalities from there.
There you go. You could, actually. You could take those three horses and you could really, you could do that. And it's neat, too, that one of the coolest parts of the whole weekend is watching them pick the horses, because they bring them all into the ring and they just are running around because they're, you know, they haven't been touched. I think they had a halter on once. And
but do they get to pick? They get to pick their own horse.
So they'll bring like 12 horses in, and they'll get to.
I thought
watch
they get assigned one.
No, they get to watch them run around, and then they pick their own horse. But still, I mean, you're not sure what that horse's personality is going to be,
right?
When you finally get to working with them, so it is a lot of fun.
That sounds fun.
Yep.
And they have to ride them? They have to ride them in 3 days?
Yep. They ride them through an obstacle course of bizarre obstacles. I mean, bizarre obstacles. Some stuff that you couldn't get your horse to do now. You know, so it's...
Well, I mean... Duh.
All right, let's take a break for Kentucky Performance Products, and then I'm so excited to have our next guest on the show.
She had waited all her life for this moment, dreaming about it since she was 10 years old. The trailer ramp touched the ground. He whinnied as she backed him out, swinging his head around to get a good look at his new home. His coat gleamed in the sun. Her love had arrived. She was breathless. He was beautiful. She could hardly wait to tack him up and start off on what she was sure would be the best times of her life. This love story is brought to you by Contribute, providing essential omega-3 fatty acids that help maintain low inflammation levels throughout your horse's body. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
Well, that KPP has been with us since the beginning, since we started the shows and 7.5 years ago, and we really appreciate their support all through the years. Definitely take a look at them when you're looking at supplements. They're on most shelves that you'll find around your area, in your feed stores, your tack shops, so definitely check them out. Kentucky Performance Products, one of the finest in the business. I want to remind everybody that the Traverse Stakes is happening tomorrow. It is going to be on NBC. NBC will have live coverage from Saratoga from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the Traverse will be happening at 5:45. And of course, why are we mentioning that? Because of American Pharoah will be running the Traverse this year.
Exciting.
Yep, American Pharoah is going to be against Texas Red, who was we had their owner on before he got injured before the Kentucky Derby, and they say Texas Red could be one of the big competitors to American Pharoah. So we'll see. This is going to be American Pharoah's lead up to the Breeders' Cup, and of course, everybody's going to be really watching the Breeders' Cup if American Pharoah can pull this off. So we're excited to have that happen tomorrow. Jamie wanted to make sure that I mentioned that, and we did not forget that. So
you're not in trouble.
No, I'm not in trouble. I mentioned it. It's coming up. We'll definitely be taping it and watching it. I'm excited to see American Pharoah go again. And of course,
you know, Glenn, you're a pretty good guy because think of that, about that. You have all these women co-hosts, and you have to put up with all of us.
I know, but you know what?
You do a good job.
I thoroughly enjoy working with every one of you every week, and I'm not just saying that. I do. If I don't, I fire you. So,
but you're still here. Watch out.
You're still here, Wendy. So.
Good thing we live far away from each other.
That's right. That's what Jamie says too. We did get to go up and see Helena last week, and that was a lot of fun. I got to spend a little time with Helena because you never get to see her up there in Rhode Island.
Yeah, I love her. She's so funny.
And she is. And she was, Jennifer and her had a great time riding and catching up and, you know, doing all of that. And of course, Wendy, we'll just remind everybody that Wendy does the driving radio show. And did you get Barry for Monday, by the way?
No, I'll call him.
Yeah, definitely get him booked up because everybody loves Barry. So she does the driving radio show. You can find it at drivingradioshow.com. This week we had David Saunders on, and he talked all about the Newport Coaching Festival and the big parties up there in Newport. It was quite an event, and he talked about that, plus talked a lot about and had some interviews with the people that run the Carriage Museum of America, the CMA. So that's all on this week's show, a driving radio show, which came out today. Well, Wendy, we were heading back from vacation on Saturday. Funny story about this. And we subscribe to Audible, and we love books on tape. And we said, let's look for a book. And I said, well, there's that Sergeant Reckless book that came out, and I was fascinated by that. So we looked it up, and it was on Audible. It's written by Robin Hutton. So we listened to it the whole way home. And it was a great, terrific book. A lot of research done to this book. And I didn't know a lot about the author. And you learn a lot about Robin in this book. And what happened before and after the war and the whole thing. It was really a good book. It made the trip home go so much quicker. And then I got home. And ironically, I had this email the same day from Angela from Horse Girl TV, our friend Angela. And she wrote and said, you've got to have this person on your show. She wrote the book Sergeant Reckless. So Angela was emailing us the same time we were listening to it in the drive.
That's so funny. It's fate.
I was fate. And I said, well, then I definitely have to have Robin on. So we do. We have Robin with us today. She is the author of this book and an unbelievable advocate for this horse. Robin, good morning, and thank you so much for joining us.
Well, good morning to the both of you, and I'm sure happy you enjoyed the book. And Angela is just a delight, and I had a lot of fun with her last week when I was back at Camp Lejeune. And so thank you so much. I hear the audiobook is wonderful. I have not had a chance to listen to it, actually, I hear Susan's voice does a beautiful job.
She does, and you know, Audible books are really dependent upon the person who does the reading.
Yes.
And if you have a terrible reader, they're not going to like the book. It's just the way it goes. You know,
that would be terrible.
Yeah, I know. You write this great book and have an awful reader, it'd be terrible. And, you know, this was a book that really the reader was important in the Audible one because it's written you wrote it with such emotion. And it is an emotional story and an emotional book,
and
she really conveyed that. So you can give her compliments from us. And I've stopped books before, so you know, good job. But now I got to congratulate you, and I want to thank you.
Oh, thank you.
You know, we have many members of our family that are in the military. My co-host Jamie, who's off today, and Wendy's kind enough to fill in. Her husband is a fighter pilot. So, you know, for you and my dad was a Marine during the Korean War. So. This book meant a lot.
It hit home for you.
Yes, it really did. And I wish he was still alive because I wanted to ask him about the horse. He never mentioned it. Now I want to ask him about it.
But I know.
You wrote it in such a way that really told the story from the beginning to this horse died and then after, to your efforts to have the statue built and everything that went into that, all of your hard work. And thank you for doing that hard work and for really... you know, making this horse a place in history where it should be.
Oh, well, thank you for that, Glenn. You know, it has been an honor and a privilege to have this horse be such a part of my life over the last 9 years. And I just thank God every day for it, I swear. The people that I have met along the way that shared with me their stories and their pictures and everything, it has just been an incredible ride. And no pun intended, but it has just been amazing. And, she is just this incredible little horse. And, you know, she's as real to me as if she'd be grazing in my backyard.
Well, Robin, if you don't mind, I would love to play the audio from your book trailer. Because I think it tells the story better than you and I could in those voices. And
oh, my.
Are the voices we're hearing in here, are they actual Korean veterans?
I don't know because I haven't heard it yet.
Oh, really? From the book trailer? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a listen. Yeah. All right. Let's take a listen.
Wonderful.
This is the true story of Reckless. Yeah. A small Mongolian mare that became the greatest war hero horse in American history. How great? In the 1990s, Life magazine published a collector's edition of America's 100 greatest heroes. Included among such colossal giants as Washington, Lincoln, Jefferson, was a horse. Believe it or not, Reckless was named as one of America's 100 all-time greatest heroes. Named for the 5th Marines Recoilless Rifle Company, also known as Reckless Rifles, this 5-year-old mare was purchased at a Korean racetrack for $250 to help transport ammunition for the company. The Marines trained her to step over communication lines, get down when there was incoming fire, and to ignore the sounds of battle. During the fight to retake Outpost Vegas in 1953, she made 51 trips on her own to the firing sites. She carried over 9,000 pounds of ammunition and walked over 35 miles through open rice paddies and up steep hills through artillery that was exploding at the rate of 500 rounds per minute. During one of these trips, Reckless shielded four Marines who were moving up to the front line, and she was wounded twice during the battle, but that didn't stop her. After the war, the Marines brought her to Camp Pendleton, where she was fed and maintained by the Marine Corps in lieu of retirement pay, according to official Marine Corps documents. Reckless was promoted twice at Camp Pendleton, first to sergeant, and then in 1959 to staff sergeant. Her last promotion ceremony included a 19-gun salute for the Marine Corps Commandant who presided over the ceremony, General Randolph Pate. In her honor, there was also a parade of 1,700 troops from her old outfit, the 5th Marines. She died in May 1968.
You know, that really gives me goosebumps, because after listening to the book, you know, and hearing that and hearing those guys talk, it really does give me goosebumps.
You goosebumps. I mean, I'm crying.
I know, you too. And I'll tell you who that is. I didn't know that you were playing that when you said the trailer for the book. That voice is Tom Laughlin from the Billy Jack movies. Do you guys remember Billy Jack in the 70s?
Yes,
it was
the
iconic. Yep, that was Tom, who I worked with for 35 years until he passed away in December of 2013. But yep, he loved this horse and this story. And he, I made that video back when nobody knew about her, and I was trying to get the world to know about her. And he did just a great job on that. And I love that. I love that video. It makes me cry every time I hear it.
Yeah, me too. I actually stumbled across it one time when I was doing some research for the Driving Radio Show. And I said, my God, Glenn, we have to get Robin on. This is incredible.
Oh, my gosh.
So yeah, I'm glad we're finally talking to you.
You know, me too. It's just a great story. You can't beat the story. And to me, it's the greatest horse story I had ever heard. And actually, I had never heard about, you know, and I'm like, why? How did she vanish from the pages of history? And
because
you know,
she was hugely popular in the 50s. I mean, she was hugely popular.
Yes, famous Blassie and Rin Tin Tin back in her day. And yet she vanished.
Well, you know, too, and I think what struck home to everybody and what struck home to us, because we're all horse people, right, that are listening to this, is we can't teach our horses, we could not teach our horses to by themselves do a round trip that was a really far long away in fire, and I am sure that the North Koreans and the Chinese had this horse targeted. They wanted this horse dead.
They became her herd. The Marines became her herd. She was the only animal in camp, and so she needed a herd, you know, because that's what horses are, herd animals. And so she would follow them anywhere, and they always took such great care of her, and they loved her, and she loved them. And I like to say she wasn't a horse, she was a Marine, because she became really one of them, sleeping in their tents at night and drinking beer with them and eating in the mess tent with the coffee and the eggs and everything. And so it was hard to find really where the horse stopped and the Marine began, because she became so close with them. And so she would follow them anywhere. She knew what her job was. She was an incredibly smart horse. And she knew what her job was, and she did it loyally and faithfully without ever hesitating.
You know, when you get a really good mare, that's what they are. They love you, and they want to take care of you, and they're incredible. And in the video, too, you can see how when she's doing her job, when there's all this fire around, and she's climbing up a mountain with all this weight on her, her little ears are forward, and she just is chugging along by herself.
Yeah. Oh, I know it. Harold Wadley, Sergeant Harold Wadley, who saw her during the Battle of Outpost Vegas, her most heroic battle, he said that he saw her struggling in the flare light. He said there was so much incoming an outgoing firepower. They couldn't mark it. It was just a blur on the screen. And he said they would collide midair, causing these aerial bursts that looked like the 4th of July raining down on the troops. And he saw her struggling to get up that hill in that flare light. And he said it's an image that has been imprinted on his head and his heart forever. He will not forget that. And he also says there must have been an angel riding on her back that day for her to make it back safely. And she was wounded twice. She ended up getting 2 Purple Hearts, but neither one of the wounds put her out of commission, and neither one of the wounds made her stop or hesitate in any way to complete her mission.
Right. You'd think after she got wounded, she'd be like, I'm not going up that hill again. But yeah. It's such a great story.
You guys, go ahead.
Yeah, you can go do this. I don't get paid enough.
Right, exactly. I'm going to go train.
Wendy, I'll tell you what. Wendy's a veterinarian, and Wendy would not have approved of her diet in camp.
Oh, I know.
No, that's not true, because I'm all about variety in your diet.
Well, she got variety. A lot of beer, alcohol, eggs, anything humans ate, she ate.
That's good. See, they're following a Chinese medicine diet.
Yeah, there you go. And she also loves cherry pie. There's a wonderful story. I won't be a spoiler alert. When the cook made the cherry pies, and he put them out to cool, and he came back, and the centers were eaten out of all of them.
Oh my God!
I know it. It's crazy what this horse
she
would
loved,
eat.
She had good taste too. She loved donuts. That was the other thing she loved.
That's not on a good Chinese medicine. Donuts.
No, and Hershey bars. I guess she would eat a little bit of chocolate to also help with her energy. Joe Latham fed her that and everything. Yeah, loved her, and she loved them.
It must have been so nice for the soldiers to have that that horse down there, because it kind of added some relief to them from the horribleness of war. You know, you have this relationship with an animal.
Yeah, I agree. She was also, she was like a mascot in that regard, you know, where she, however, she's, you know, she's the only animal to have an official ranking in any branch of the military. She was officially promoted to those rankings and everything, even though she served, you know, as a mascot in that way of, you know, helping the men get over what they were, she added a lot of levity.
Right.
And that was just a wonderful thing. Maybe even a little bit of back home, you know.
Well, right. You know, it was interesting too, and I found interesting, because if anybody knows anything about the military, you they're not really open to new things. Let's just put it that way. And especially from the general on down. And this horse had the support of the generals that were in charge of the war over there. I mean, it was incredible the amount of support she had all the way to the top.
That's absolutely true, Glenn. You know, it's really cute when you think about it. Her battlefield promotion in Korea was done at the time he wasn't a general, but I think he was a colonel, Rand McCall Pate. And he, on April 10th, 1954, promoted her to sergeant in Korea. And they had a big fanfare there. They built a stage for her. They did it appropriately, as if she was like at Camp Pendleton doing it. And in 1959, when he was commandant, he gave her final promotion to staff sergeant. He went out, and he had a 19-gun salute in his honor, and 1,700 troops paraded in front of her to show their respect and admiration for her and everything. It's an amazing story.
It is. I don't want to give away the ending either, what happened after she got back here to Camp Pendleton, or you guys have to pay attention to the trip that she had from there to here, because that's quite a story. But
oh, I didn't even think about that.
Oh, I'm not going to spoil anything. Don't spoil it, Robin. Let them listen to that, because and we can all picture that happening, being horse people, right? So
Oh my gosh.
But then you took, and you have done a massive effort, and you know, put a ton of money out of your own pocket and spent a lot of time trying to get a statue built. And done. And you did that. You accomplished the goal. And I know it was with a lot of heartache, but I just have to tell you, it is an unbelievable statue. Jennifer will put it in the show notes and on our Facebook page. It is just incredible.
Oh, yes. Jocelyn Russell out of Friday Harbor, Washington, did a majestic job in capturing Reckless going up to the guns during, it's called an uphill battle. And it's during the Outpost Vegas battle that she was in. And man, when we had 3,000 people show up for the dedication at the National Museum of the Marine Corps, the Commandant of the Marine Corps, General James Amos, who actually writes a foreword for my paperback version of my book, which just came out last week, does a magnificent job. But people gasped when the monument was unveiled. It was like she was in full motion going up to the guns. And it has been just an incredible labor of love. And we're now trying to get one placed for her at Camp Pendleton, where she lived out her days and is buried. So she's going to be bi-coastal. And then we also, a couple of weeks ago, got the heads up that the South, there's a province in South Korea that is building a museum, and they want to place one of the monuments for her there, just south of the DMZ, where she fought during Outpost Vegas. And so Reckless will be having a place of honor there as well, because the South Koreans are very, very proud of the fact that she was a Korean horse that became such a part of American folklore and, you know, the Marines' history.
Well, I know you put a lot of work into this. There's still a fundraiser going on, too, right? Because I know that you had to borrow the bag and steal to get the money to build this and to get it done.
I know. So. You know, and it was really interesting. You know, I can still remember sitting in the executive director's office 5 weeks out of the Marine Corps League. This is the Marine Corps League, their executive director. And he's sitting there, and I'm trying to get a donation because I'm saying, you know, Mike, the Marine Corps League needs to be on the plaque, because like for $5,000 donation, you get your name on the plaque to be on there forever, to be associated with this. And they had just built this monument for Chesty Puller there, and he was still trying to get that paid off. He said, Robin, I can't do it. He says, but tell me, how much do you need? And I said, I need $45,000. And he says, and you have 5 weeks to do it. And I said, and I have 5 weeks to do it. And he looks at me, and he says, you've got guts. And I said, Mike, I don't know how it's going to happen. All I know is that I'm going to get that pony to the show, and I'm going to make it happen. And sure enough, by the grace of God, my mother stepped up and lent me the money. But I had actually was able to pay her back by December 1st because people saw the monument and how beautiful it was, and they wanted to be associated with it. And so now we're doing the same for Camp Pendleton. And yes, we are still raising money for that one. And I'm still waiting for final permission from the Secretary of the Navy's office, which should be forthcoming in the next couple of weeks, because it's going to be breathtaking where we have her there. So, but it's a lot of heartache and stress and worry. But you know, I just knew it was going to happen. I just knew it was going to happen.
You shouldn't be a staff sergeant in the Marines after all of this.
I feel like I'm a Marine, you know. All of my friends that have, you know, that I've met and gave me, you know, their stories, their family to me now, you know. And sadly, they're starting to pass away. And I've lost three of them since I started this mission 9 years ago. Well, and I've made it my mission in life that she's never going to be forgotten again. And so it's just been this wonderful, wonderful, joyful experience.
Now, with the dedication of the statue, I assume that you had several of the Marines that served with her there, too.
Oh, yes. I had about a dozen of them. They came with their family members, and some even brought some of their friends to be a part of it. And General Amos went over and shook the hand of all of them. And it was just such a great day. And I remember...
They had to have tears, Robin. They had to be crying when that...
It
was crazy.
I'm crying again,
yeah,
too.
It was... Oh, my God. It was just crazy. You know, they had... I was there a couple of days early, you know, to get things set up. And three of the guys came in early because they wanted to kind of do some sightseeing and, you know, get situated and stuff. So I took them down to the monument to show them the monument, you know, a couple of days beforehand. And, oh, my gosh, my one friend, Johnny Newsom, his eyes, his face was so red. He was trying so hard not to show the tears when we turned this corner and he saw her standing there with in this beautiful pose carrying her ammunition up. And these guys just couldn't keep it together. They all just cried these tears of joy. And you could see how proud they all were. All of the guys that were there were so proud to be there and to be a part of this wonderful piece of history.
Well, I'm sure they all appreciate your efforts too. You got me crying now. So,
no, you know what else I love about this story? We don't have a lot of stories that touch your heart like this about horses that don't end in complete disaster. And this has a really happy ending. And I love that.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And thank goodness, you know, like so many people said, am I going to cry? And I said, well, yeah, you will, because it's, you know, people, you know, it's war and, you know, everything. But she does survive the war. So I'll tell you that.
Yeah, we're not, that's not a spoiler alert. You know, that's just a fact. So it's like, you know what?
I
got to say, if you're listening to this while driving, have tissues handy and, you know, be prepared to pull off the road. So
I know it's just a great story, and thankfully I didn't screw it up too badly. But
no, you didn't at all.
Can't beat her story.
I'm glad too, and I'm glad of this. I'm glad you continued to tell a story. I'm going to call it the prologue. I don't know if you called it that, but I'm glad you continued to tell the story after the story, and that was you and the statue.
Because
that was as fascinating to us, being in marketing and sales and stuff. That was as fascinating to us as the story itself. And I'm glad, because you know, you could have been proud and not told that part, but I'm glad you did.
So. That was my publisher's idea. You know, he wanted me to do that. And I'm like, oh, you know, I've never been one to, you know, tell my story. It's not about me, you know? And he says, no, but this is about you, you know, and it's about your journey with this horse. And it's because of the love for her that, you know, I wanted to do what I did. So that was at his urging. And Regnery History has just been a fabulous publisher. And they've just taken to the story just phenomenally and have done so good by me and everything. So I did that, and it was quite interesting when I was pulling it together, you know, and I had forgotten a lot of the things that happened, as you do, you know, when you're in the heat of the battle. And but it was a pretty interesting ride, to say the least. And so thank you for that. That's very kind of you to say.
Sergeant Reckless, it's sgtreckless.com. Sergeantreckless.com is where you can find it. If you want to contribute and help out with the fundraiser, information's on there. If you want to buy the book, you can find links to it on there as well. I'm so happy we had a chance to have you on, and thank you.
Oh, I'm blessed.
Thank you again to Angela from Horse Girl TV. She's been friends of ours since we started the Horse Radio Network. So,
oh, she is awesome.
We appreciate her. So I assume she did a story. Is that going to be coming out on, let's give her a plug, on Horse Girl TV too? Is it out yet?
We just did it. So I think she's probably editing it. I'm not sure exactly when it's going to be coming out, but yes, we had a wonderful sit down and everything. She's just a joy and, everything. And there's also, I want you, also my friend Templeton Thompson, who's a country singer.
Yeah, she's been on our show 100 times.
Oh my gosh. Tempe, she wrote this beautiful song for Reckless called Oorah Reckless. And you can find that on her website and also on mine. And we have a Facebook fan club for Sergeant Reckless as well, that people can go and get caught up on some of the happenings and different pictures. And when I new things come along, I post on there and stuff. But yeah, Tempe did a beautiful song for Reckless, and very, very proud. I'm going to get that in my movie, Come Hell or High Water.
Well, I know she'd appreciate that too. I'm trying to find it actually on her website, because we play a song right after we hang up with you. And I had forgotten that she had done that, so I will try and locate that, and we'll play that today.
I'm going to need to go get some tissues for the rest of the show.
When you hear that song, you will. I mean, I get the chills every time I hear it. So it's just beautiful.
It's called Oorah Reckless. Is that the?
Oorah Reckless.
I don't think we've played that yet. So we're definitely going to have to, I'll find it. I'll find it during the commercial, and we'll play that song. Thank you so much, Robin. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much. It was awesome, you guys. I really appreciate you guys taking the time to talk to me about my favorite pony, and I'm just really grateful for it all. Thank you so much.
SergeantReckless.com. Thanks, Robin.
God bless. Thanks.
That was one of my favorite interviews ever.
I mean, I know.
Just,
I know. I've been wanting to talk to her for so long, and I'm so glad she came on. And you know what? I didn't realize that she was a pony. She was 13-1.
Yeah, she was not big. I mean, when you see the pictures of her with the Marines, you know, she was not a big pony at all.
But you know what? I don't think she was really a Mongol pony, because remember how bratty those Mongol ponies were? Remember
she
was, that girl?
She, you
girl
know what? Maybe it was
Mongol
the beer. Pony. The excessive, there were, you're going to hear a couple things in there. She was a Marine. She got drunk a few times. So
no, I think, but I think she's part thoroughbred. I think she's a thoroughbred Welsh.
She's part tough pony is what she was.
She's tough pony.
All right, let's do this. Let's head over. We have to hear from our friends at EcoVet. And then we are going to, I found the song. So we're going to play Oorah Reckless coming up here in just a minute. And then, of course, really bad ads. We're going to switch gears, go from crying to laughing.
Oh, good.
We need a little change of pace here. So that's all coming up in just a minute.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if your horse could enjoy a zone of repellency from pesky flies? Well, he can with EcoVet. EcoVet is an entirely new type of fly repellent that is safe for horses and those applying it, offering a real alternative to toxic pesticides like pyrethrins. EcoVet confuses an insect's normal directional ability, the bug's GPS, if you will. So if it can't locate your horse, it can't bite your horse. Dr. Wendy Ying from the Driving Radio Show has been using it in South Florida, also known as the Jurassic Park of biting insects, and she just loves it. EcoVet's active ingredients are naturally occurring food-grade fatty acids that have been clinically shown to improve the condition of horses with difficult-to-treat sweet itch problems. EcoVet is effective on mosquitoes, ticks, noceums, as well as flies. You can visit EcoVet online at eco-vet.com for more information or to order. You can find EcoVet at Dover Saddlery Stores and EcoVet's on Facebook. Just search EcoVet, E-C-O-V-E-T.
Stand together and honor the life that you live. here's to you, reckless, wherever you are.
That was Templeton Thompson with her song "Hoorah Reckless," and she was actually Wendy out in her field with the horses. So they were not fake Winnies. They were real Winnies you heard in the background. There were her horses right behind her. So so neat how she does a lot of those where she goes out and into her pasture and sings the songs, and I love when she does that.
That is great.
Yep.
The Winnies really added a lot to it.
Exactly. Exactly. And
that's when I really started bawling.
That's only part of that song, actually. You can hear the whole song. Just go to templetonthompson.com to hear the rest of that song. What a neat story. Can't wait for the movie.
Oh, that's going to be so great.
She didn't, you know, she kind of hinted to that at the end there, didn't she? She said she'd love to get the song in the movie. So maybe there's a movie deal. I don't know.
There should be. It should be a Disney movie.
Disney movie.
Well, remember Disney used to do all those movies about animals?
That's true. They did. You're right.
It'd be a great Disney movie.
You're right. You know what happened is War Horse came out. And I think that kind of put these plans on hold for a little bit because War Horse, you know, was a horse war movie. And then the studios went, well, we don't need to do another one of those right away.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of what happened. But I think you'll see this one get made. The book's been a bestseller on the New York Times bestseller list. It just came out in paperback. So you're going to see it get made, I think.
I loved War Horse. I mean, that is one of my favorite movies. But what I really like about this story is she really touched those people.
Right.
I mean, it's a story about the horses interacting with real people.
And she did all of this by herself.
I know.
51 trips back and forth, you know, and it was a rough ride. She did it by herself. Anyway, that is an incredible story. I highly, highly recommend it to any horse person out there. You got to go check that out and definitely do that. But now it is time to do this.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Well, it is time for the EquityMFG.com really bad ads. We've been off for a couple of weeks and haven't had any, so Jennifer has lined up, with the help of our listeners, some really bad Craigslist ads that they have found about horses and horse things coming up today. And we are brought to you by EquityMFG.com, the home to the finest manure forks out there. When we were at Ada last week, we were walking around looking at the fakers. That's right, the manure forks that don't quite cut it, that are for sale on the market today. They are fakers. Fakers, fakers. I just wanted to take them and smash them on the ground and see if they broke into pieces. Because we know that the Equity Flexin' Fork and the Shakin' Fork do not break into pieces. Matter of fact, what's happened with mine, and this has never happened before with a manure fork in the 30 years we've been cleaning stalls and fields, is our handle is starting to splinter and go out before the head, before the plastic head usually breaks, long before the handle goes. Don't you usually replace the head on the crappy, cheapy ones?
Yeah.
And then, because your handle's not worn out yet, right?
Well, and then the... When you replace it, that little screw never goes back in right. And then it's all wobbly on the end. I hate that.
That's true. Well, now I have to order. Yeah, I'm just going to order a whole new one. I'm going to get a couple of them because they just work. Now, we've had ours for almost 4 years, and we use it every day, and it nothing is wrong with it except the handles the wooden handle's starting to go a little bit. So
that does officially make you the horse husband of the year, because you you know, you have
out
a preference for your manure fork.
That's true. We do. We do. We won't use anything else.
You're a manure fork snob.
Oh, yeah. Jennifer said it's fiberglass. Sorry, I got that wrong. It's a fiberglass handle, which is why when they start to fray a little bit, you get those splinters in your fingers, you know? So anyway, we want to make sure that if you clean more than 3 stalls a day, you have to go over to equitymfg.com and take a look at the Shaken Fork. It's the one that does all the work for you. It's the one that Jamie gets so many comments about when she's at shows, and she gets a ton of comments about her Shaken Fork, and we use it here to clean our stalls. It's so nice. It's so handy. It saves you half the time and half the bedding. If you clean less than 3 stalls and you clean paddocks and stuff like that, then I recommend the Flex and Fork. You're going to go there and you're going to say, well, they're more expensive than the others. That's because they're going to last 12 times longer. So they're tougher. They're longer. They have a suspension system built in, so you don't get the whole flicking thing, which we have here in Florida in the paddocks with those little weedy things that grow along the top of the grass. So definitely check it out. EquityMFG.com.
Plus, if you don't have... Go ahead.
No.
If you don't have one of these, Glenn is going to look down on you because he's a pitchfork snob.
That's right. I will. I'll be like I was at Aiden like, going, how do you sell those crappy ones?
That's
what I'll be saying. Jennifer, what is our prize today?
Today's prize is a box of brand new crap from Glenn's closet, because we just attended Ada, where we collect lots of the crap that Glenn keeps in his closet. So you're going to get some new stuff in your
box. This is actually good crap. It's actually nice crap this time. So you're going to want to win today's prize, because it's nice crap from Ada. It's brand new crap.
Why don't we call it stuff? Let's call it stuff.
No,
rather
it's
than
the
crap.
Box of crap. We've been calling it a box of crap for 5 years.
Like, what is it? Promotional materials?
That's just samples and stuff, you know, and you know, maybe a mug from the Horse Radio Network. But actually, this time we have some carrot stuff in there. We have some bottled goods in there. There's good stuff in this box.
You know
of
what
crap.
They give away at horse vet conferences?
What?
You know those like squeezy stress removers?
Yes.
You know where you squeeze something and their eyes pop out?
Yep.
That's always like a big one at the conferences because they think we vets are all stressed out.
That's funny. Well, that's what the prize is today. And of course, anybody that submits an ad, whether we read them or not, or whether you win or not each week, are entered into the drawing to win a Flex and Fork. We'll be doing that next week, right, Jennifer?
That's
for the
next
month?
Week. Correct.
All right, very good. And then at the end of the year, we're going to do a grand drawing, and we're going to see who wins a Shaken Fork at the end of the year. Everybody that submits all year
long. Are employees of the Horse Radio Network able to join?
No, unfortunately not. It's written in the fine print.
Mm.
Sorry, Wendy.
All right,
here we go. EquityMFG.com, really bad ads. And we're starting it off with Chelsea sent this one in. Riding steer, $7,000. Wow.
I have to laugh at that.
Expensive steer. I have six year riding steer for sale. He has done a lot trail rides, pony rides, barrel racing, LOL. He is a huge good boy. We'll do part trade for a horse trailer or a four-wheeler.
Oh.
Payment's okay. He will tie all day. Contact me for pics if serious. Inquiries only.
He does sound pretty cool.
Is it? Was there a picture, Jennifer? Is he actually a steer, or is she trying to sell a big ugly horse?
No picture.
Oh, I wonder.
He must be fancy because she doesn't say you can eat him if he doesn't work out like
that's
that other
true.
Guy.
That's true.
So this is a fancy riding steer.
Although, could you imagine how long it takes to do a barrel race with a steer?
That's the only way to barrel race, in my opinion.
And don't you think the horns would get caught on the barrels as he makes the turn?
Well, maybe he's a polled steer.
Maybe. And I love how they have $7,000 on this steer.
I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. He's too good to eat. That'd be super expensive steak, $7,000.
She obviously values the steer more than the horse trailer because it says we'll do part trade. So there you go.
You know, I actually think, well, I don't know.
We should have had the phone number to call this one because I want to know more. There's so many more questions. Thank you, Chelsea.
All right, this next one is from Shelley. Used old truck to good home. Trades? $1. 20-ish year old truck, not running right now, but I think I can get it going when you contract me. It's red, but it's more of a rust red. Has a healthy amount of miles on it. I use it on my farm, so if you need a farming truck, here it is. I will trade only for a big tan horse with a horned saddle. That doesn't sound like a good trade.
A big tan horse with a horn. And actually, it's saddle. A big tan horse with a horn saddle.
Why can't they spell?
This person doesn't know a lot about horses.
They have spell check.
This person, do not trade a horse to this person. Please.
I love how it's not running. But, you know, if you call about it, I'll try to get it going.
Yeah, well, I love how he said also, when you contract me. So like, yeah. Okay. I'm going to contract you to start your truck. The rust red truck. You know what this thing looks like, too.
Yeah.
Just there's no floor.
No. You don't need a floor for a farm truck.
That's true. Who cares if
How's
it rains?
How's the dog going to get
cares
in?
About cares about puddles? How are the rats going to get in? Brooke sent this one in. Paint stud colt, $150 in Willis, Texas.
Oh, that's good. $150.
Yeah, it's cheap. I have a paint stud colt, $150. He's a rescue. Oh, a couple of months shy of a year. Is coon-footed.
Oh, great.
Had the vet come out and said he's not going to be a racing horse.
Oh,
no, your paint stud colt's probably not going to be a racing horse. I don't care what his feet look like. He's not going to be a racing horse. Oh, and he can't do barrels and not a rodeo horse either.
Aww. Oh.
Can only be a trail horse or trotter. Hooves have to be tended to on a regular basis due to being coon-footed. He is a stud, has a good attitude, and willing to learn.
Let's breed him.
Yeah, that's right. Let's breed the coon-footed horse. That sounds like a plan. He's a very lovable Wendy.
Aww.
He is a quarter horse. Would make a good kid's horse. How do you know? He's not even a year old.
Well, he's too lame to run away. He'll go slow for the kids.
That's true. To a good home only, has had only two owners before. Now, this isn't even a year old. A year old has had two owners. Had only two owners before coming to me, and now he's looking for a forever home because I can't stand him. No, that's not what it says. And land and other horsey friends. If interested, please give me a call.
How do you become a rescue? He said two owners, but he's a rescue from who knows?
At less than a year old, this horse has had a rough life. It really has. But, you know, I'm sorry, you're not going to be able to race this paint stud colt quarter horse.
And if he's really a rescue, hey, rescue person, geld him.
Yes. Yeah, that would be a good idea.
Before selling him as a breeding animal.
Yes. So we get more coon-footed babies.
I can just imagine that vet going out there to talk to this lady.
Yes.
Well, he's not going to be a racing horse.
Could you imagine yourself there trying to be diplomatic?
Yeah, I can totally see it. I have actually had these cases before.
That's funny. That was a great one, Brooke. Thank you for sending that one in.
All right. The next one's from Beth. White horse for sale, $500. Four quarter stud horse, never been mated and is ridden around mares. Certified paperwork and shot records. Doesn't bite or kick. This horse is not for beginners, but can be ridden.
They always put, it's great. It doesn't bite or kick. It's great. It's been around mares. And then in the last sentence, they always put, but it's not for beginners. And you maybe be able to ride it if you're brave.
You know, and also, if you can't think of anything else to say in your ad, except for he doesn't bite or kick. You know, I mean, this horse doesn't do anything.
That's right.
Just the default. They shouldn't bite or kick.
That's right. That's true.
I'm expecting to go look at any horse. I don't expect to be bitten and or kicked.
Well said, Sin. Well said, Wendy. Well, amen, girl. Amen. Let's just end the show now. Heather sent in the following one. Gentle quarter horses for sale, $900. Nice 14-hand Perlino stud. Horse is gentle with no bad habits. He hasn't been ridden in over a year, but I will saddle him before purchase.
Oh, this is like a truck.
I will saddle him. She doesn't say she's going to get on him. She's going to put the saddle on him. You're responsible for the death wish. Horace does have registration, but not really sure if I can find papers to him. He has Peco Bueno on both sides. Well, let me say this. If you're buying a horse from somebody and they say, oh, I'll get the papers to you, you're never, ever going to see the papers. There is no papers. There never was any papers.
No.
No. Or the papers were sent out with the other stolen horse. One or the other has happened there. Yes, this is a dealer.
And it says quarter horses for sale, but then there's only one.
Yeah, there's only one. But she'll saddle him. She'll put that saddle on before you come over.
14 hands.
I know. It's a little quarter horse. All right, Bryce, send in the next one.
It's our horse trailer of the week. And should I describe the horse trailer first before I read it?
Yes,
or read it
please
first?
Do.
Okay, I love this trailer. It's just a frame. It has no floor. It has no sides. And I can't tell if it has a roof or not. It's blue.
Well,
and
it was
the
blue.
Wheels look flat.
It was blue. 50 was years blue. Ago.
And it does have a ramp, a nice green ramp.
We don't know if it moves, but it has a ramp.
Yeah, and the wheels look very rusty and flat.
Yes.
Oh, and look, if you look on the inside wheel well, the horses can have access to the axles while you're driving.
There's no cover.
No. So, two horse trailer project in parentheses, $250. And WYSIWYG, what you see is what you get. I bought this trailer a couple of years ago and took it apart and welded a lot of new steel in it. The trailer that's there is very solid. It just needs finishing. Or make it into something else. $250. OBO.
He didn't weld a lot of steel into it. There's a little plate in the very front that he welded in. But other than that, there's nothing. There's no floor. Well, there's no sides.
Maybe there was less there before he started on this project.
What's sad is, will he really sell it for $250? Is somebody going to come out and pay that for it?
Well, I guess you could turn it into something else. Like, maybe you can get some person that likes to do gardening, use it as a planter.
I don't think the scrapper is going to pay you for this. The scrap guy is going to charge you to take it away. But
that's what he should do. The scrappers probably could get $250 for that. He should take it down to his local scrappers, but he probably can't move it.
No, it hasn't been moved in years.
You need to rent a trailer to move it to the scrappers.
Since he bought it, it hasn't been moved. All right, Holly, send in the next one. It's long, but you got to stick with me, people.
Oh, I love this one.
This is a great ad. Arabian gelding, $1,500. Arabian gelding, light bay, 15 hands. We actually taped him at 15-1, but he was moving, so I'm going with 15. Honesty right there. There's a lot of honesty in this ad. Big suspension, very typey, spooky, hot, snorty, distracted, etc. Everything that gives Arabians a bad name.
Ooh, he must be a show one. He must be an in-hand one.
7 years old, ready to start, because we've had several trainers look at him, and only two were willing to try him. One called after 2 weeks because he stopped eating, and one is still working with him. He has been lunged under saddle. He's actually very good at this, and rarely, if ever, is hard to tack up. He also knows verbal commands and does not pull or get obnoxious. Now, that's the last good thing you're going to hear about this horse. Comes when you call him when loose. He gets loose frequently as he jumps out of your fence. You're going to need really high fencing. He has great feet, stands for the farrier, but does try to bite him. Your farrier will need to be fast.
He eats
a lot. Even though he eats a lot, he generally stays fairly thin. Vet gave him clean bill of health last month, plus a year's supply of ACE.
Oh my God.
Which I will send with him. He rears in the stall to see his neighbors trying to help with this. We call it the time out corner.
Oh,
he bucks in place in the stall as well. He is a screamer. He's also herd bound. Sometimes he's super easy to work with. Do not let this fool you. He will randomly try to bite you, kick at you, or run you over.
Oh my God.
He will also randomly try to lay down when you're tacking him up. But I wouldn't let him do that if I were you. Sometimes you can use a clippers on him. Spray bottles are also sometimes all right, and then sometimes they are not. Very, very not. He will load into a trailer and is fairly quiet. He will even unload fairly easily. But then I don't know if he will load or unload for you. He has a nice extended trot and a great canter when he's not trying to drag you across the arena. We have mainly fixed this issue with lunging him, but he will probably try that with you. He has papers and decent bloodlines. This horse is not safe for children or teenagers or adults or seniors or anybody else in the human race. Oh, my God.
You know, that white horse for $500 is sounding kind of better because it
really
doesn't bite or kick.
That's right.
I need to change my strategy when I'm writing ads.
That's the best ad ever. But I'm not actually sure they were trying to sell the horse. I think it was just more of a whining session.
I think that was just someone venting.
Yeah. Do you think it was the husband venting and the wife's horse?
It might have been.
It might have been. Yeah. Or the wife set up, or he dumped the wife and she's in the hospital and he wrote this ad while she was in the hospital. One or the other. Yeah, that could be too.
I think so too.
What a great ad, Holly. Good find.
All right, our next one's from Kathleen O'Grady. And it's a picture of some kind of wagon. And this is what they're calling it. Western Chuck Wagon, horse-driven wagon. Real, not a reproduction. $3,500. Real deal from the Open West brought to Florida. Western Open Chuck Wagon. All original, not restored. No major rot. Great patina. Good deal. Can deliver for extra fee, cash and carry price. Hurry, only one for sale in all of Florida.
Too much.
This is a wreck.
It is a wreck, and it wasn't a chuck wagon. I got news for you. It's just a wagon.
Some kind of mule wagon. It is really an antique because it has the wooden wheels with the metal. iron on it.
Yeah, it really is. But maybe not for $3,500.
To really know the age of this wagon, you're going to have it carbon dated.
It does look like it's from the prehistoric age.
I love that this person watched a lot of Antiques Roadshow, though, said great patina. That comes straight from Antiques Roadshow.
I.e. rust. Yeah. Rusty wheels. And it's totally dried out. Like, these wheels are going to fall apart as soon as you move it. And I love this extra piece of wood in here. There's like some 4x4 piece of wood.
I thought maybe it was the shaft for the horses. Maybe. I don't know. But
The pole? Maybe that's the pole. It's for a pair of mules or something.
That's what I thought it was. If we saw this at Martin's Auction, which is the premier carriage auction on the East Coast, and Wendy and I love going there, and Jennifer too, if we saw this, it would be in the outside field on Saturday where the junk is, and it would go for like $400, not $3,500.
Although maybe I should send it to Barry and see what Barry thinks about it.
Yeah, he's our resident expert, all things carriage. Well, let's cut it off there. Jennifer, can you please put the rest of those in next week's? I think that was enough for today. Is there any choice? I know it wasn't a really bad ad. It was really a funny ad, but we have to give it to Holly, don't you guys think, with the Arabian gelding?
I think so. I think that was great.
There were a lot of good ones today, though. There really were.
Great ones. The riding steer was pretty good.
Yeah, the riding steer was good, and the rescue, the paint colt, stud colt that's not going to be a racehorse, was good, too. It's so hard to pick.
That was good.
But I think I have to go with Holly Kennedy. Congratulations, Holly. Your winner. And of course, you're all entered into the drawing next week for the EquityMFG.com Flex and Fork. And they'll be on with us next week to pick a winner. And if you want to send ads in, send them in to Jennifer at HorseRadioNetwork.com. Put really bad ads in the subject line and copy and paste the entire ad, pictures and all, into the email. That way, if it goes away, Jennifer can still find it. Thank you all for submitting. This was a great bunch of ads. We'll be back again next week with more really bad ads. And let me remind you, if you want to listen to more of Wendy, which you should because she's wonderful, you can listen over at the Driving Radio Show, drivingradioshow.com. We've been doing that show for, I think it's almost 4 years. It's over 4 years. So it's been a long time.
Really?
Yeah. We're in the 200s, so it has to be over 4 years. Yeah.
Wow.
I know. Time flies, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's so fun. And driving, we have so much stuff to talk about.
Well, you know, we have a lot of listeners. I'm going to put a plug in for Wendy here, because we have a lot of listeners that listen to the driving radio show that are not drivers or could care less about driving. And they listen because Wendy's fun, and she does these Chinese medicine segments that are very, very interesting. So there's a lot more to the driving radio show. Plus, we get some of the cool... There are some characters in driving, and we have them there. So.
And sometimes we talk about driving dogs. That's always fun.
And
so llamas, it's not always
horses. And anything else that drives, we'll talk about it. Cows, steers, we don't care. If you put it in a harness, we'll talk about it. Chickens.
Hey, we should buy that riding steer and teach it to drive. Then it's a ride and drive.
That'd be perfect. I could see you riding, driving through your snooty neighborhood down there with the steer.
My neighborhood's not snooty. They would love that.
You live in Sarasota. That's all snooty down there.
No, it isn't.
The snooty southern part of Florida
down
there.
Country folk out here.
All right, that's about it. Where can people find your website, Wendy?
At drwendyying.com.
DrWendyYing.com. And you have stuff for sale there.
I do. And you know what our newest product is?
What?
EcoVet.
Oh, really? Great. So they can get the fly spray from you?
They can get the fly spray from me. So, because I love EcoVet. I mean, my horses love it. It's great. Because they live outside. And like Jennifer said, I mean, our mosquitoes here are gigantic. And plus, we have... a lot of gnats, and my horses have sweet itch, so it's really done wonders for them.
That's great. You had to order it directly from EcoVet before. Now you have another source. You can go to drwendyying.com, and you'll find the EcoVet.
Right.
I know we've had a lot of our listeners trying it, and I'm waiting to get some reviews in that have all ordered it. So I'm waiting to hear about that. Before we leave the show today, and what a great show, and thank you so much to Richard Winters and to Robin Hutton for stopping by, and I just loved that interview with Robin Hutton. That was so much fun. But we had a listener post on our Facebook page, and I want to talk about this to end the week. Lindsay Roush posted, "Thank you, Glenn the Geek, Jamie Massey Jennings, and Tammy Sarantz, for convincing this stubborn Western rider to wear a helmet. I came off my horse last night, landing on my back and cracking my helmet. Needless to say, I will be ordering another Troxel Intrepid this morning." So.
Wow.
I'm glad. Oh, and she has a picture of the helmet there, and it is cracked. Yes, so that could have been her
that's
head.
That's scary.
Yep. So, you know, we're glad, you know, I know we sound like we're preaching about helmets all the time, but we always said if we can help one person not end up with a concussion or a head injury, and look, Lindsay, we have that one person now. So I feel glad. It was all worth it, all those years of talking about helmets. So thank you for posting that, Lindsay. We appreciate it. Well, thank you, Dr. Wendy. We'll talk to you on Monday when we record the driving radio show. Call Barry. Get him on there.
I will. I will.
Everybody's favorite guest. So, we got some cool stuff to talk about. So
that's right. Thanks. The coaches.
Thank you, Jennifer, for setting up all the guests this week. What a fun batch.
Woohoo!
Good job. And
my
don't forget,
hurts.
Jennifer's show, horsetipdaily.com. Head on over to Horsetip Daily. It's short and sweet and very informational every single day. Well, every single day that she gets to it.
Almost every day.
Yeah, almost every day. Bye, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Bye. Keep the shiny side up.
There you go.